There we go. So welcome back everyone to the Fit Take with Joey Gass podcast. Another special guest this week, have good friend Kara Goss. She's a registered dietitian and trainer and founder of the Functional Fat Loss Academy and a good friend. We've been friends for what, like 5 years now. And
It's so
go ahead.
crazy to think about, Joey. I was actually just thinking about this before the podcast because I was like, I remember being in like my master's and I had just passed my RD exam and everything. And I remember I was working at Applebee's the summer that I think we got connected. And I just remember sitting in the Applebee's parking lot, voice memoing you back and forth about like online coaching stuff. And that's like the earliest memory I have of our friendship. But it's just so funny and so crazy to see how we've both evolved in the past 5 years since like, yeah, like 2018, 2019.
Yeah, because I was looking back and because it was funny, I had a client today, literally she messaged me and she was listening to my podcast and she like scrolled back to like the very first ones that I recorded.
Oh my
And
gosh. You're
that was
like,
back in and she was like, you know what, I would probably have been intimidating if I tried to sign up with you then, just the way I like talked. I guess I talked differently then. But anyways, the point I was trying to make was you were, I think you were a special guest on like the second podcast that I have listed on here. And you were the first guest that I've actually ever had on my podcast ever back in
Wow, I
20
feel so special.
back in 2019. So yeah, it is wild to think that it was that long ago and just like the
And also just see
conversations we
how,
were having.
yes, the conversations we were having, and also just to see how our views have changed and like things that we've changed our like mindset on. And also, I can definitely see why somebody might have felt intimidated prior because I feel like it's that, what is it called? Like that Dunning-Kruger effect where it's like when you get into this and you feel like you know everything. And so it's like we're up here like confident as heck. And then it's like, oh wait, I actually don't know as much as I thought I did. And now we're back on that upswing of like, wow, we have so much knowledge, but there's also still so much to learn, you know? And I feel like we've all gone through that in our own journey too. So I can definitely understand that. That's so funny though.
Yeah, and it's funny because I sent her a link to this old YouTube channel. Like I don't even post on it anymore, but it's the old YouTube channel that I had where I posted my first ever YouTube video, and it was like 2017 of me talking to my car, and it was the cringiest thing I've ever watched in my entire life.
I swear. Oh my gosh, that's so funny. And the same thing happens to me. Like I'll have Facebook memories pop up from like whenever I very first started my Facebook group, and I'm like, Kara, what are you doing? What are you saying? The lighting is terrible. You look like crap. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, and some of the podcasts too, I was like in the intro like screaming like what is going on? I'm like really hyped up like I'm getting ready for I don't know, like a playoff or the Super Bowl or something like that, and I'm like just relax, Joey. It's okay. It's just a podcast episode. Don't need to scream into the mic. It's
That's
funny.
so funny. That is so funny just to see how we've evolved. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and it's I don't know, we could go down a rabbit hole talking about that, but just how many things have changed even with like the health and fitness space, social media, and like coaching, and all that has just changed so much in just, 5, 6 years.
I know. It is so wild to think. I mean, I feel like 2018 was really that big boom of like Instagram, online coaching, all of that kind of stuff. And now I'm out here like, man, I can't even make a static post anymore because it's gonna get like 2 likes.
It's
I
crazy.
miss those days.
It's so weird how likes have just like they just don't happen anymore. And it's not
It's
like
wild.
it just because your post doesn't get a like doesn't mean it's not a good post. But
Right,
like even
right.
myself, I scroll through Instagram and I just find myself like just I don't like things. Like even if I think the post is really good, most of the time I just don't like it. It's weird
Me
how
either.
it's just like it's just not in our DNA anymore to actually physically like something if we like
Yeah,
it.
it's crazy.
Unless I want to save it and like refer back to it, then I'll like save it. But
Right. I
it's
feel like
crazy.
saves are better than likes anyway, so.
Yeah. And Instagram stories too are just like, hey, one day you get so many, and another day there's like 10 people watching. It's like,
Oh yeah,
I don't know.
posted about my wisdom teeth 3 weeks ago. My Instagram views were higher than they've ever been, like 500s. And then I post something great, educational, like 150. I'm like,
Yeah.
all right.
And it's weird because, like, I don't know if you know, like, some people are like, hey, if you let your stories die out and then they go to zero and then you post, then, like, that first story post gets a lot
It
of
hits.
views, which it does happen like that a lot, but it makes no sense in my brain, like, with the platform, because then it's encouraging you to just, like, not post in your
Not
stories,
post.
because, like, if I keep posting, then the views are just going to keep going down. So I don't know. Social
Yep.
media is just, algorithms are just, don't make any sense.
No, none at all. So I'm to in total agreeance with you there.
Yeah, but anyway, so while we were going down the rabbit hole of social media, I really wanted to have Kara on to just talk about this journey that you've really been on for a while, and I've
Like 3 years.
followed along with a lot of your updates as far as your hormonal health journey, some of the hormonal issues you were experiencing, how that impacted your results in the gym, your physique results, even like your mindset and everything.
For sure.
And I wanted to have you on and talk about it for like a variety of reasons that we'll probably get into, but maybe you can kind of start off the story by what issues were you dealing with, and then start off with like how you even realized you were having some hormonal imbalances there.
Oh my gosh, it has been an absolute roller coaster. And it's like there's kind of like two parts to this story. So, kind of the first half was me coming off of hormonal birth control. And so I decided to come off of hormonal birth control in January of 2021. And it was really just a personal decision for me. I had done a lot of research on it. I was really diving into the like functional health space and hormonal health space. And I really wanted to kind of just allow my body to be able to function on its own. I wanted to be able to have a healthy period, a normal menstrual cycle, and I wanted to be able to really support my hormones without having something synthetic. And here's the thing, and a disclaimer that I always want to make is that, I am not anti-birth control. I think that birth control has its place and it's warranted in some situations, absolutely, right? And I think that this goes for the majority of, I mean, unless you're listening to some like super, super extreme person, which we always try to say stay away from extremes either way. But I think the majority of, health and fitness coaches out there have this similar view. We're just anti-birth control without any education on how it impacts our body and what can happen whenever you come off of it, And again, like any other woman, I was not well educated on really how birth control impacted my body and what would happen whenever I came off. And so, whenever I came off of birth control, it's like I'll try and keep this abridged because it definitely there's a lot of different kind of like things that happened during that time, but it took me about 10 months to get a normal period back. So pretty much lost my period for 10 months. And I'm not gonna lie, oh my gosh, if I wish I could give you guys a visual of like my side by side, I was just looking at pictures and videos like TikToks that I was posting in 2021 to now, and I was like, it's crazy because you realize it in the moment, but like then you're looking back at like pictures from 3 years ago versus now. The inflammation in my face is insane. Like I look like a different, completely different person. And so I started dealing with, some inflammation, some weight gain. And I will say that, up to this point, I was working with a different coach than I am now. And we definitely did not. I obviously know a lot better now. And this is what I help my clients with in terms of, hormones and post-birth control. But we definitely did not set my body up for success the way it needed to be. I had actually just been finishing up like a pretty long cutting period before that. And then boom, I came off of birth control. And my body said, no, ma'am. Like it just kind of was like a crap storm of inflammation, some weight gain. Because we were also at that time, starting to work my calories up more and more. And there was a period of time during that phase where it took me getting pretty high calorie and kind of eating in a surplus. I'm a short person, I'm only 5 foot, to get my period back. And so I was gaining weight on top of that. I think that's another really big misconception is that there are so many different factors that go into weight gain post-birth control, but there was a caloric component to it as well. And I think that's really important to note here too. So gain some weight. Overall, though, like I was honestly feeling pretty good. But the main issues that I was starting to deal with is I was dealing with a lot of estrogen dominance. So my estrogen levels were really high. My progesterone levels were absolutely tanked, like postmenopausal at age, I mean, I came off when I was 25, right? And again, birth control notoriously, that notoriously happens. Post-birth control testosterone levels were really, really tanked. And I also started dealing with some cortisol issues, and I actually went through probably like a 6 month bout of terrible insomnia when I had never, ever dealt with insomnia in my life. Like that was honestly, I was like at the peak of my weight gain, inflammation, not sleeping. It was just not a, it was not a good time in my life. Yeah. Were you gonna say something?
So quick question. So
Yep.
when you were talking about those symptoms of like feeling really inflamed or looking really inflamed, and then
Mm-hmm.
all of that, was that strictly from coming off of the birth control, or did you experience like any kind of symptoms similar to that or in that realm when you were taking it before you came off?
Yeah, so that's the interesting thing is that I did not experience any of those symptoms while on birth control, only when I came off. And so I do think that, and again, there we can kind of get into like the nitty-gritty of this, but there are a few different things that I think were happening is one, I was dealing with that estrogen dominance. And so that in itself, was kind of creating like some inflammation. I was dealing with a little bit of higher like CRP levels, like that general inflammatory marker. My liver enzymes, Joey, they were in the 70s and 80s after I came off of like it was wild. And
Wow.
for context, like we normally want to see those in like the low 20s and teens. Like my liver enzymes were through the roof. But again, it's hard because I don't have anything to compare to from prior to going on birth control. Because I got on birth control when I was 16. I wasn't getting lab work done at 16. I wasn't testing these levels, you know? So I think it was a combination of probably those hormonal fluctuations, but also the consistent weight gain that I was experiencing as well, you know, kind of like, and also I was dealing with some cortisol issues there as well. So like, you know, with that, I was retaining some extra water weight. And so I think it was kind of a combination of all of these things. But I will say that no, when I was on birth control, I was feeling good. I had always noticed that it was always a little bit more difficult for me to put on muscle mass. And again, I never use that as an excuse, right? Like I do have low testosterone levels overall. But I, you know, while I was on birth control, I was feeling pretty good. And honestly, it was always pretty easy for me to lose the weight. And I also had a regular period while on quote unquote period while on birth control as well. So, you know, and I think that that's the scary thing for a lot of people is they don't realize that, you know, they can experience a lot of these negative symptoms that maybe they never even experienced before birth control or while on it, right? And so that's kind of what hits you of like, what is going on and why is this happening, right? So, yeah, that was definitely something that was really challenging for me, you know? And so, I mean, long story short, and kind of that side of things, I did end up, you know, I ended up doing the work. I really supported a lot, which, you know, we can kind of talk about as well, like different areas that I started supporting post-birth control. But I really did the mental work, the physical work. I did get my period back. And eventually I started working with my now coach. And, you know, once I had my period back for about, I wanted to say I had probably like 10, like 8 to 10 normal periods. We were like, okay, let's go into a fat loss phase. Let's get this body fat off finally. Because I was about 150 pounds then. And, you know, I again, like at 5 foot, like, it's not comfortable, right? And I had done a lot of work to accept myself in that body. But then whenever we went into my dieting phase, all went well. We got the weight off. Like I dropped the weight again. I dropped about like 25-ish pounds. I'm still like I'm maintaining a little bit heavier than where I was, like, you know, before coming off of birth control, but I'm in a great body composition now. I'm really happy with where I'm at. But toward the end of that dieting phase, I lost my period again. And I'm just like, what? Like, why? Why? It just felt like this. It felt like this blow, like, oh my gosh, I just did so much work to get it back. And now it's gone again. And mind you, I mean, you know, especially as RDs and stuff, like we see people losing their periods whenever they're really low body fat, really under fueling, all of that kind of stuff. And don't get me wrong, like we definitely had to push a bit harder to get some body fat off because, again, I am a smaller person, but it's not like I'm an unhealthy body fat percentage by any means. And so, you know, something that we've learned over these this last 3 years of basically doing everything under the sun to improve my progesterone levels, which is really kind of like the sticking point for me, is that I am just, my body is really, really, really sensitive to any sort of stressor. And it really does thrive on staying at maintenance and like not dieting, which is frustrating because there are times, and there's going to be times in the future where like I do still want to get some extra body fat off. And now it's that juggle of, am I going to lose my period again whenever I go into a calorie deficit? It's really frustrating. And it's taken a lot of mental work to like be okay with and understand that like there are these nuances around these things where, okay, like what is worth pushing for and what is worth, you know, like not going after in terms of my body fat goals and like my body composition goals.
Yeah, absolutely. It's this weird, it's like a seesaw. Like you have to make sure you're pushing hard enough to actually see like that change that you want, but not too hard or for too long to where then you start to deal with those, negative side effects there. So it sounds like you were around like 120-ish before you came off birth control,
I
somewhere around
was.
there, and then you ended up getting up to like 150. Over how long of a span was that? Because I know you said you waited until like 8 to 10, I think, periods before going into another fat loss phase. So obviously that was at least, 10 months there, but then you also spent a significant amount of time getting your period back. So like what did that time frame look like of like gaining that weight before you actually were able to go into a fat loss phase again?
Yeah, this is a great question. So I was about, I want to say, so from January of 2021 to, I kind of go by like year and a half increments because that's when I started working with my current coach, January of 2021 up to around like January of 2022, I had gained about 15 pounds in that span of time. So I had gained about 15 pounds in the span of a year. And then, probably like 15 to 18. And then I started working with my current coach in February of 2022. And we spent that first around like 6-ish months, simply just maintaining. And he actually had started bumping up my calories even a little bit more because I was still dealing with like, you know, just some other issues in terms of like my sleep, all of that kind of stuff. He really wanted to make sure I was at a solid maintenance. And so even during that time, I had gained about 10 more pounds within the span of like 6 months. So like it, and it was kind of one of those things where, you know how whenever you're eating at maintenance or even in a slight surplus and you have like any little scale fluctuation and it just sticks and it doesn't come back down. That's what I was experiencing, right? It was just like another pound, another pound, another pound, until eventually I was 30 pounds up. And I was like, okay, like this is not fun, you know? So it was over the span of about a year and a half where I was, you know, I had gained around like that 28 to 30 pound mark. And then around June of, I want to say June of 2022, yes, is when I started my like fat loss phase to start losing that weight again. So it did take me, I mean, a year and a half of gaining that weight and staying really uncomfortable and making sure that I was in a solid place before I even started focusing on fat loss again, you know? And I think that that's another area where a lot of people get really stuck on is they don't understand the importance of staying at maintenance long enough. And granted, for me, like I definitely was in a bit of a surplus at a certain point, which no, not everyone needs to be in a surplus, you know what I mean? But I do think that that's where people really hit a sticking point with their health and fitness journey and success in creating long-term fat loss results is that they don't spend enough time actually getting maybe just a little bit uncomfortable. You don't have to get 30 pounds up uncomfortable, right? But like maybe gaining an extra 5 pounds so that you can eat 2,000 calories instead of 1,400 calories, right? Before you go into that fat loss phase. But again, it takes so much unlearning, right?
Yeah. And, something else I wanted to ask you too is, and you kind of hinted towards it a little bit in the beginning. And I want to come back to the maintenance stuff, in a little bit, but you talked about like you were gaining this weight over this time period, and there was a calorie component to it. So I'm curious, like, what weight did you gain, if any, before like your calories were up to where you're like, okay, this makes sense that I'm maybe gaining some weight because my food is up? Because I think some people have this idea, which could be true and maybe not true, that these hormone fluctuations are just going to magically make you, or maybe not magically, but make you gain body fat even if you're not eating more. So kind of tell me about that, like what you kind of noticed, because you were obviously going through this journey with the background knowledge you have, so you could probably pick out a
Right.
lot of these stuff that, the general population can't.
Yep. So I think that there's a few different factors that come into this. And yes, I think that's so important that, like, just a disclaimer to touch on, like a hormonal fluctuation isn't going to like automatically make you put on weight, right? Or like a hormonal imbalance, right? But specific issues with hormonal imbalances or whatever it may be can make it more difficult for like that caloric, that calories in versus calories out equation to tip one way or the other so that we are gaining weight or that we are losing body fat. You know what I mean? So again, like there are hormones that can impact calories in, there are hormones that can impact calories out. And like, I think that's where people get really confused about these types of things. But I will say that for me, I can't like I will tell you that for about from like January of 2021 to like July-ish of 2021, because there was like one other coach that I worked with in between, like my old coach that I worked with for like 5 years versus the person I've been with now for like 2 years. But from like January of 2021 to July of 2021, I had probably gained around like 10 pounds during that time. And honestly, I remember my calories being pretty low. We ended my calorie deficit probably around like 1400. And I remember my coach had not bumped my calories higher than like 1700. And I was like, why aren't we bumping calories higher? And I was also getting really frustrated because I was putting on this weight. And now, of course, like I am somebody who is extremely consistent whenever it comes to my goals, tracking my nutrition, all of that kind of stuff. There aren't many times where I have like these huge fluctuations or anything of that sort. But again, it was kind of that situation where one, we were coming out of this like really depleted state from a fat loss phase. So I think that that's impacted the weight gain as we increase calories up a bit. And also too, there were some different like times. Like I remember I went and spent like a month in Nashville with my friend and everything of that sort. And like there were some different travel things, some different stressors that probably made the scale fluctuate up a little bit, and then it just continued to stick there. But I had probably gained around like, yeah, like I would say like 8 to 10 pounds during that first like half of the year. And then once I started working with the next coach and then like my coach after that, and we really started getting calories up, that's when more of that weight gain piled on, right? So like I do think that my body was probably just in a state of, that like that energy balance equation. It, it was obviously wasn't in my favor. And the other important note to remember here is that I was also taking a lot more training breaks as well. I had also pulled back on my training intensity. Therefore, we know that that is also going to impact that calorie equation too. And I took like even like a whole month off of rest, and I was just doing like restorative movement and everything of that sort. So there were definitely a lot of different things that came into play. But I would say that the majority of the weight gain came once we had actually gotten my calories. We probably hit around like the 2000 to 2100 calorie mark. Like I remember at the very end of my, at the very end, whenever I was like 30 pounds up, I was eating around like 2400 calories. Like I was eating a lot for a short person, right? And it's really cool now because now I'm able to maintain around 2100 calories, and like it's just great how the metabolism adapts, But again, like I just think it does speak to the component of, yes, there was a caloric component, and also I'm sure there was some water retention and inflammation that were, and some other fluctuations that were contributing into that scale weight increase,
Yeah, absolutely. No, I love all those points you brought up. And I was just going to say that same thing because you mentioned that you were experiencing a lot of inflammation and you could like see it in your face and all the bloating and
It's
stuff. And like,
wild.
all that inflammation is going to come with a lot of water retention. And water retention, like we know, causes so much of these like weight spikes in the scale. And like, typically, if you have a spike in water retention, a lot of times it goes back to normal after a couple of days. But because your hormones were kind of all over the place coming off birth control, that stuck, that water retention stuck too. And then, all those other variables you mentioned of like maybe working out a little bit less, being less active, all those other things on top of, and this could be a huge rabbit hole that we could go down, is just that concept of calories in versus calories out. And like, it's impacted by so many things, and your hormone fluctuations, they're not going to make you automatically gain body fat out of thin air, but they can dramatically impact your fatigue levels, which can impact like how active you are moving around, or even a lot of like subconscious activity, like me talking with my hands right now. And same thing like calorie intake. We know if you go into a dieting phase, those things slow down, which then brings the amount of calories you burn down, which can, tip that scale in a certain direction too. So,
For sure.
yeah. So I love all those points you brought up, and just, highlighting like some of that was probably energy balance in the beginning, but a lot of that was also to like water retention too. And just the importance of like distinguishing, I guess, fat gain versus weight gain, right? With
Yes,
everything.
that's so true as well. I think that's really important as well. And I mean, yeah, like we do have to, and that's where the beauty of having like a neutral relationship with the scale is really important. And the beauty of actually being educated on, okay, what actually impacts this calories in versus calories out equation, and also what is impacting the scale, right? Because we know that, like, just because, if you have a high carb meal at night, you know what I mean? And like maybe you went out to dinner, whatever it may be, we see some of that water retention. We know that we didn't just gain like 2 pounds of fat overnight, right? And so the difference between the weight gain, what we see on the scale, and actual body fat gain is really important. And of course, yeah, like I did see my body composition change in a way that I wasn't comfortable with, right? But at the same time, like I knew why it was happening, and I could understand the scale fluctuations, and I think having knowledge behind that is just really empowering.
Yeah, absolutely. And then one last thing that you mentioned regarding that too was that you were coming out of a really depleted state of just being in the fat loss phase. And something I try to like tell all my clients and tell everyone is the lowest weight that you see on the scale after a fat loss phase, you won't actually like really ever
Maintain it.
maintain that, because once you bring your calories up to maintenance, you're not gaining a bunch of body fat back, but you're basically repleting yourself. And you're probably having a little bit more sodium just because your calories are, higher anyway. It's like if you have a car and the gas tank is empty and you like put it on a scale, it would weigh a certain amount, and then you put the car back on the scale, but the gas tank is full, it's gonna weigh a little bit more, even though you didn't actually like put any more mass on the actual body of the car, if that makes sense. Like, because it's filled up now. So I love that you brought that up too, because people like bring their calories up to maintenance in one day and the scale is up 1 to 2 pounds and they think, oh shoot, like I gained 1 to 2 pounds of fat, but it's not fat. It's just you f repleting yourself back up.
Yes, it's so funny because I literally have an Instagram post that I'm going to post right after we're done recording about this exact same thing, because I talk about how, at the end of my fat loss phase, whenever I ended it last year, I was around 122 pounds, and now I'm maintaining around 130, but like my body composition looks almost the same. Like, yeah, I'm a little bit fuller, right? Like glycogen stores are fuller. I'm eating 700 more calories than I was back then, right? And so, yeah, I think that that's really important. And people just can't wrap their head around the fact that, like, you honestly, like, whenever it comes to fat loss, I always say it's normally like taking 3 steps forward and 1 step back until you get to the end goal, because you're never gonna be getting to that lowest weight and then maintaining it and then starting at that lowest weight point again. You're gonna have to fluctuate up a little bit more if you actually want to get your calories back up to an optimal place to set yourself up for future fat loss success again. So again, it's a really hard concept for people to wrap their head around, and it takes a really long time, and that's why most people don't like it.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of just taking a really long time, your maintenance phase, or you building your calories up before you got into another fat loss phase, was a really long time. And this is something that clients or people in general really struggle with, is the idea of maintenance and staying at maintenance for a long period of time. And they hear that word and they think, oh, I'm at maintenance, or we're going to go into a maintenance phase, like I'm not going to make any progress now, like because it's all boring and we're just staying the same. And how did you get yourself, I guess, like you have the background knowledge, so it was maybe a little bit easier versus someone who's not as educated, but how did you get yourself through that prolonged maintenance period, as well as justifying to yourself that you should have a coach? Because this is also something that a lot of clients struggle with, I think, is having a coach and them telling them, oh, you have to be in a maintenance phase for the next 4 or 5 months because your body's not responding to fat loss right now. They're like, well, like I'm not utilizing you for fat loss, which is what I hired you for. Like, why do I continue to pay you? So how did you kind of navigate both of those things?
Yeah, that's so good. So the very first, your very first question about navigating maintenance, and I'm not gonna lie, is I feel like it was even harder for me because I had gained even more weight than what the average person would gain in like a quote unquote maintenance phase. You know what I mean? So it's like I really had to buckle down and say, what basically I got to the point of like, what are my two options here, right? I'm either gonna throw in the towel and I'm gonna be stuck where I'm at right now, which I don't want to happen, or I'm going to continue putting in the work and being uncomfortable. And eventually I know that I'm gonna get to where I wanna be. It's never a matter of if, it's a matter of when, right? And so I do think it was a bit easier for me though, with obviously my background knowledge and knowing that this maintenance phase is setting me up for future fat loss success. But how I got through it was, I'm not gonna lie, I did a lot of internal work and like self-reflection and mindset work as well. I mean, I did a lot of like meditation, I did a lot of journaling, I did a lot of like, I was actually going through like a whole like kind of like embodiment, like self-love course, like during the time that this was happening, which was really, really helpful for me because ultimately I was pretty much forced into accepting myself in a bigger body, right? And like into accepting myself in a body that I wasn't as comfortable in that time of my life, but I learned so much acceptance and respect for myself. And ultimately, I knew that like going into like, sure, I'm a coach. I could have easily said, screw you to my coach and put myself into a fat loss phase if I wanted to during that time. But I still knew that there were more things to improve upon. And I knew that my fat loss phase would be more successful if I just stuck this out a little bit longer. So why wouldn't I, right? Like the time is going to pass either way. So we're either going to do this the right way and we're going to have delayed gratification and actually go about this in a strategic and sustainable way, or we are going to utilize the time to maybe get into fat loss sooner than we should, or do the quick fix or whatever it may be, and ultimately waste more time in the long run because we know those results probably aren't going to be as easy to maintain. Right. So, like, that was kind of my mindset around it. And, just in terms of justifying having a coach, again, I think it's a little bit easier as coaches. We understand the importance of a coach, but I totally understand whenever people are like, oh, I don't need a coach when I'm in maintenance. But what most people don't realize is that I think that, and I'm not saying this in like a mean or rude way at all, but I think that people think they know a lot more than they do whenever it comes to a maintenance phase. And they're just kind of thinking of like, oh, okay, I'll just keep eating the same level that I'm at now and like everything will be fine. But what we don't understand, and what most people don't understand, is that the body is so adaptive and so many different variables can change in the span of 1 week, literally. Like I've even had clients come to me who are in maintenance phases who are like, hey, can we drop down to like once per month check-ins? And I'm like, do you know how much can change in the span of a month? And so it's all about optimizing your results and also making sure that you have someone there to hold you accountable to not go into that fat loss phase too soon. And to also adjust and address, okay, like what if you do start eating at what you think is quote unquote maintenance and you start gaining a bunch of weight, right? Or maybe you're actually not even at maintenance, but you think that you are, but you're actually in a deficit, right? And like it's really important to have somebody there with an unbiased perspective to be able to make adjustments for you and actually help you find what your true maintenance level is. And then also not spiral if, you have a night out with the girls or you go on vacation and the scale comes up or you come back on the scale like 3 pounds up and then you're immediately like, oh, I want to go into a fat loss phase. Like that's the beauty of having someone there to continue to remind you how important this maintenance phase is, and also educate you on it as well. Because I find that the more our clients are educated on these things and they understand the importance of spending more time in maintenance than they are in fat loss, the more willing they are to do it because like they can reap the benefits from it. And it's also really important to have someone there to like actually help you view the wins of a maintenance phase. Like most people look at a maintenance phase as this is boring. I'm not going to make any progress. But I mean, I'm sure you've talked about this. You probably have a whole episode on maintenance phases. You know what I mean? And like all of the wins that can happen during them. You know what I mean? Because we should still be making progress. We should still be getting stronger. And this is also a phase that we can use to improve our body composition and get that more quote unquote toned or defined look whenever we go into a fat loss phase, you know? So there's so many important reasons to still have a coach. And for me, my justification was like, I don't want to waste any more time. I want to make sure that I am doing this the right way. And if there's something that I'm not missing, which it is really cool now, like my coach is also my functional health mentor. So it's like pretty much anything he catches, I catch as well. But it's like I've learned that over time through working with him too. You know what I mean? So it's like for me, it was like, I'm not wasting time. Like, and this is a very emotional process for me. And I need someone who's going to be unbiased and non-emotional for me.
Right. It's funny that that you said that because we were just talking about in the very beginning, like the Dunning-Kruger effect. And it's basically like what you started off by saying was that
Yep.
people think they know a lot more than what they do. And like it's not a knock on them, but it's just you obviously like you haven't spent all the hours that like you or I have or other coaches have spent, learning this stuff. And you made so many really good points there in terms of just like making sure you don't self-sabotage yourself with, a spike on the scale. Like I can't tell you how many times I've talked with clients about them like wanting to go into a fat loss phase prematurely because, the scale is up for whatever reason. Or they've told me that like if they were on their own, they would have, slashed calories because of this weight spike or something like that. And
Exactly.
also too, like there are other things that your coach also may have in mind for you to start doing in a couple weeks or a few weeks to like progress on certain things to set you up for a better fat loss phase that you just don't know because they haven't like given you the full on game plan. Because when it comes to coaching, you have to like sometimes give people bite-sized little targets or goals and not overwhelm them with what the next 4 or 5 months looks like to a T. So like
Absolutely.
you might have different strategies to prepare your body or your clients' bodies for fat loss phases by maybe, okay, we're going to bring steps down a little bit and get your body like a little bit less stressed before we go into this fat loss phase two. And they don't know that. And they don't know to even like think about that. Or maybe it's like the training program. Maybe, when you're programming it, you're bringing volume down a little bit before you go into a fat loss phase or before a surplus or whatever it is, right? And
Yep.
there's other things too to focus on as well, like your form, you can start dialing in your form even more or really put an emphasis on your training intensity, making sure you're getting close to failure during that time and all this stuff. And I forget like what I was literally just gonna say. We'll go ahead.
I definitely agree with you there too. And I think it's just like you said, it's the importance of like understanding that there's always going to be, I mean, not always, like obviously no changes to the plan is a good thing, right? But like there are still going to be adjustments that can be made to continue helping you progress while in a maintenance phase. Like I think that's the most important aspect of it is like people cannot just look at a maintenance phase as, oh, this is just smooth sailing and I'm going to be doing the exact same thing. You know what I mean? Because yes, while you might be doing the exact same thing, like while the plan might be staying the same, there are still parts of the plan that I guarantee you that you can improve upon that you're not even thinking about without a coach guiding you in those things.
Yeah, absolutely. And the point I was going to make too is I almost like want to change the name of this and not call it
I
like a maintenance phase
know.
because like
Yeah.
just that word maintain or maintenance, like it sounds boring or it sounds like, oh, like I'm
I
doing
usually
this
call
for
it a
no
health
reason.
phase, honestly. Like that's normally the route that I go because it's like we are focusing on your health. You know what I mean? Like we're focusing on all of these different foundational items of your health that are gonna set you up for further fat loss. But yeah, I definitely use them interchangeably. I agree. I think that the name for people who like some of those more like shiny things, I feel like the name is just like not that helpful, you know?
And also too, like I've had clients who I've worked with them and have seen a ton of success in a fat loss phase and everything. And then for whatever reason, financially or whatever, or maybe they have something going on and we're going to be in a prolonged maintenance phase. I've had clients who we've stopped working together and then they came back because they really liked the experience and they wanted to jump into another fat loss phase. And that's okay if you make that decision. But the thing is when they come back a lot of times, like, oh, like I haven't been tracking my food for a couple months. I actually stopped doing
Right.
that. I actually haven't been as consistent with my workouts. My steps, I'm really not hitting those still. So many of these behaviors and habits and everything really fall off during that time. You think you can, keep yourself accountable and keep doing them. A lot of times they do fall off. And then when you come back, we almost have to start not completely at square one, but I do want to make sure that you're going to respond well in the fat loss phase before we go into it. So we're going to have a little maintenance period ourselves when you come back, even though you're probably ready to go in a fat loss phase mentally, but I want to make sure physically. So it's like, sure, I mean, you can, take a break, try to come back because you think you can maintain things on your own. But a lot of times people just can't hold themselves as accountable as what they think. And
No.
then, like on the coaching side, like we're gonna probably want at least a few weeks, if not more, like in a maintenance phase to just make sure like you're gonna respond well beforehand.
For sure. Even when I've had clients come to me who are a little bit more well-versed in this, like I work with a handful of health and fitness coaches and dietitians myself. And like, even when I have those kinds of people come to me who I know can handle their own maintenance phases and who I know can hold themselves accountable, and they've told me, like, hey, I've been eating around maintenance, like whatever it may be, I'm still gonna take at least like 2 to 3 weeks with them to just make sure that they actually have been, you know what I mean? And that we actually have this solid place, no matter what, right? So it's going to be no difference for a regular lifestyle client coming in who, yeah, maybe they think that mentally they've been around maintenance or whatever it may be. But again, it's really easy to fall off whenever you're, on your own.
Yeah, 100%. And something else too that these maintenance phases, especially prolonged ones, are really beneficial for is you can experiment with maybe not tracking a day here and there and experiment with more like intuitive eating, experiment with having more meals that maybe aren't tracked and take a little bit of a break. And then you're kind of learning how to maintain, the current fat or weight that you've lost. You're learning how to maintain that along the way versus like without tracking, without relying on tracking all the time to maintain it. So there's just so many other skills to work on during that
For
time
sure.
with a coach, 100%.
For sure.
And I love, the first part you made as far as like learning how to kind of appreciate, I guess, your body, even though it was, a bigger size than what you're comfortable with, and learn how to appreciate like these other wins that aren't associated with necessarily getting leaner or seeing the scale go down. And that's something that is really hard for a lot of people to grasp too, is that like you need to learn to not hold all of your value and weight in just like how you look or what the scale says. And were there any like very specific techniques that you did? I know you said there was a course that you took, but anything like was it journaling like, first thing in the morning or journaling in a certain way? I'm just curious.
So I honestly, like, a really big thing for me was like my morning and my evening routine. So I would always do like some sort of like brain dump if I felt like the need to kind of just like get all of my thoughts out there. But I always did a lot of like gratitude journaling. So I would always write down like 3 things I'm grateful for outside of like the way that my physical body was. You know what I mean? So I would do like 3 things I'm grateful for in my own life and also 3 things I'm grateful for that like I'm grateful for who I am or like what I have in my life or what I bring to the table or something of that sort, rather than like, oh, like I'm happy with the way my biceps look or the way, my stomach looks or whatever it may be. So really just like bringing that gratitude to the table in terms of like also like what my body could do rather than the way that it looked was really, really important for me. And then meditation, like I am, and I've honestly kind of fallen out of meditation a bit, and I definitely need to get back into it because honestly, meditation was something that really, really, really helped me. I really feel like it was a big catalyst for just like a lot of self-acceptance, because it really forces you to kind of just like sit with yourself and, just kind of, again, like really breathe and like be inside of your body and be with yourself and just kind of like all of the thoughts that pop up. And meditation is all about like not judging yourself for the thoughts that pop up. And I think that that was something that really helped me because while I would meditate or whatever it may be, like there were things, and don't get me wrong, like I wasn't anyone who was doing like 45-minute hour meditations. You know what I mean? It would literally just be like 5 to 15-minute meditations every day. But while I was doing that, and like different like thoughts that would pop up about like my body or like negative thoughts or self-image thoughts, whatever it may be. It was all about like recognizing them and accepting them and letting them go rather than sitting with them and spiraling in them. And so I think that that is something that really, really helped me as well. And I will honestly say another really big thing here was like actually purchasing clothes that I felt good in. That was probably one of the biggest things that was holding me back during this post-birth control journey, because I was constantly waiting to lose the weight again, and to be in like this body that I was in before. Whereas now, like I view myself as, you know, again, like clothes are made to fit you. You are not made to fit clothes. And anytime I'm like having my body change or whatever it may be, like I'm only wanting to become that future version of myself. I'm not trying to go back to that body composition or whatever it may be, because ultimately, like, I have more muscle on my frame now and I do look different now and I do want to keep evolving, right? So, like, being able to let go of some of those, like, really small clothes that I had, like, while I was on birth control and before coming off, and just like actually going and buying clothes that I felt confident in and that felt good for me was really important, because honestly, like, a huge mental thing and like turmoil for me was like I felt like I never had anything to wear because I was really uncomfortable. And just doing that for myself was so, so huge. So I would say like those are definitely some of the biggest things that really, really helped me. And again, just recognizing like I would start to focus on like the little wins in terms of like my hormone health and stuff, which again, this can also be taken way too far, where people get like way, way, way too caught up in like their lab work and blood markers and all of that kind of stuff. But I did like to see like the improvements that were being made and things like my estrogen levels or progesterone or whatever it may be. And I could tell when things were working. And if things weren't working, then I knew what needed to adapt and pivot. But it wasn't like I was like freaking out, you know what I mean? And so, but yeah, I mean, it's literally been like a 3-year journey of acceptance of all of these things. And I'm going to be honest with you, like even now I just checked in with my coach yesterday and we are still like we have done everything under the sun that you can possibly think of, and my progesterone levels just do not want to rise. And it is a really scary feeling as a woman who will likely have a family one day and children. Like progesterone is really, really important for carrying a pregnancy and not having miscarriages and everything of that sort. And of course, like getting a regular cycle too. And so, you know, at this point though, like I'm very accepting of where things are at. And I'm like, I'm still not going to stop continuing to do all of the things that I know support these things, you know, like even if. Because here's the reality of it too, is that sometimes like genetics will play into things, and like some people genuinely do just have lower levels of hormones than others or higher levels of hormones than others. Like every single person is different, and I'm just someone where that's my reality no matter what we do. And so yeah, I think it's just like having peace with that and accepting that like puts me in so much less mental turmoil, but it doesn't mean that I'm going to throw in the towel and give up and stop doing all the important things that support my body, you know?
Yeah, no, there's so many really, really awesome points in there. I know we talked a little bit about this before in like the podcast way a long time ago that we did about just like body neutrality and like being more neutral with your body. And you kind of talked a little bit about that where like, you know, doing your gratitude journaling, you could have wrote down things like, oh, I like how my biceps look or my, you know, my quads look or whatever, even though like trying to convince yourself that you did, but instead you were just more neutral with it and didn't even focus on those things. And I think, you know, that's important because like you said, your body is going to continuously change as you go throughout life. So if you get so attached to whatever form of your body you are currently, like eventually that's probably going to change. And eventually you're going to have to be like find acceptance with that being different than what it was before. And I love the what you said about not wanting to like now you going into a fat loss phase or being in one you know over the past I don't know how many months, but you're not trying to get back to like what you were before. And you know so many people try to get back to where they were in college, but instead you're trying to improve and evolve like compared to where you are now. And I think it's like a very cool way and very good way to frame that as like you're not going back to where you were before, but you're going to be a new and improved version of you, like your current self, with the tools and the aspects and the context and everything of your life now.
Yeah, you're building on the foundation that you have now. And this is something that I too find so many women. I mean, God, I can't tell you the amount of 45-year-old women I have who are like, I would love to look like I did in high school. I'm like, why? Why would you like to look like a 16-year-old version of yourself? I wouldn't. Like, I had no muscle. I had no butt. Like, what? You know what I mean? It's just like, it is so crazy. And again, it harps on diet culture, and it harps on, you know, the things that we are conditioned to believe about what beauty looks like and what we should look like as both females and males, you know what I mean? So I think it's just really important to understand that you are ever evolving and you're building on that foundation that you're building now. And yeah, I will say that one other thing that was huge for me is not body checking as much. So like I literally remember like every single window and every single mirror that I used to walk by, I would always stop and stand and like pull up my stomach, like look at how flat my stomach was, if it was bloated that day, whatever it may be. And during that postbirth control journey, I stopped doing it because I was so like, I was just like, I gotta shut it down. Like this literally is doing nothing for me. Like I am where I am. My body is what it is. And I have to stop like at every single chance I get looking at it and checking it because nothing's going to change it right now in that moment. And, you know, it's not making any positive difference. So that was a really big thing for me as well. And it's a hard habit to break for sure.
Yeah, and I think too something you mentioned that was really important was just the not judging your own thoughts, and almost like I've heard people talk about this before of just like realizing that you aren't your thoughts. Like you're a
Yes.
separate being from your thoughts, and your thoughts
Yep.
can pop up, and sometimes your thoughts are good, sometimes they're bad, but they're not like actually you, and you're like an observer of your thoughts almost. The same way like you are not your body, like you're kind of I don't know, observer of your body, but you're living in your body. And
Yes.
like, doesn't mean like we don't want to take care of our body because we obviously want to so we can stay healthy long term. But when you're in a situation where your body composition just isn't where you want to be, especially in a situation like yours where you didn't have like full control over how it was changing necessarily, like you have to learn to accept it and realize like you're not how your clothes actually fit on you, or you're not how much body fat you have in your stomach. Like you're
Right.
separate from that.
Right. Absolutely. I 100% agree with you there. And again, it takes a lot of internal work to do that. And it's work that, you know, some people may not ever do because it does take a lot of just time and patience, you know.
Yeah, but I feel like, and you could probably speak to this, is going through that journey has probably helped you, even though it sucked, has helped you so much
Oh
mentally
my
where you
God.
are now. Like, you know, the body you have now, you probably feel so much more confident in. But if you wouldn't have gone through that and still had this body, you probably would feel totally different about it, and maybe you would be picking yourself out of all these insecurities and stuff too. So it's like, you know, whoever's listening, even if you achieve this body that you do feel confident with, if you don't do the inner work along the way, like mentally, to
Yep.
accept your body and all that, you're probably still not going to feel like happy and confident with where you're at.
I completely agree. And I say this all the time, like as difficult as the journey has been and was, I am so grateful for it because one, not only did it push me deeper into the functional health space, and this is literally like the area that like I am so passionate about working with now, but two, I am at the healthiest place with my relationship with food and my body than I ever have been. And I genuinely do not know if I wouldn't have gone through this post-birth control journey if I would be in the place that I am now, like if I was just kind of like cruising on through these last 3 years. So it really has brought so much more insight and also just empathy for the people who are going through it and like for our clients as well, you know, because it's like I feel like that's what makes us the coaches that we are, right? Because we have been there. Like we have gone through these weight loss struggles or health struggles or whatever it may be. And we can, you know, put ourselves in our client's shoes and like understand that while, yes, it feels really difficult, like we know and we have the confidence in them that they can get through it. And we know that something is better on the other side, you know?
Yeah, 100%. And that's another reason why like having a coach is so important during these periods, because if you're on your own, you haven't experienced it yourself yet and getting to the other side yet. And it's hard for you to be confident in that plan that you're executing on your own versus, like you said, us. We've been through this. Like, obviously, I haven't been through a birth control journey myself, but I've been through other similar journeys of like, weight loss, fat loss, all this stuff. And like, I know what it's like to be on the other side and know that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. So having that person in your corner that does have that helps you to get through it.
100%. Totally agree.
Yeah. So we're kind of coming up on an hour now. So like, let me know, is there anything else you want to add? Anything else with your journey? Any other like misconceptions? I know we already talked about a few, but anything that you like that we didn't touch on that you really wanted to make sure the audience heard?
Yeah, I think honestly, just the biggest thing is that is continuing to stay neutral throughout everything and knowing that you have to have time and patience and you have to give your body grace. Because honestly, like I think one of the and honestly, this was like actually an old business mentor that you probably know who I'm talking about if we're on the same wavelength. An old business mentor told me this, like he was like the very first person I ever worked with, but he would talked about it in business, but I think about it in the sense of like my body and like my journey as well. But he always talked about like these highs and lows, and like you get so excited at these highs and you get so low at these lows, but you have to ride the wave of like this gray area in the middle of like staying neutral. And it doesn't mean that you can't get excited or that you can't feel low, whatever it may be, but like you have to like dull those down a little bit if you are somebody who really latches on to like a lot of excitement or like really low lows, because either way, you're going to fluctuate and like you're going to be disappointed at a certain point, right? So, like having that neutrality and having that rationality throughout any kind of journey, whether it be a hormone health journey, a fat loss journey, is so important. And just like give your body grace and give yourself grace. Because if you are somebody who is working through, maintenance or even weight gain or just like a really uncomfortable part of your journey or like a really tough fat loss phase, whatever it may be, remember like every single day that you are continuing to show up for yourself and you're choosing to implement the things that you know are getting you one step closer to the goal. You know what I mean? And I think I find comfort in that every single day for sure.
Yeah, no, I love that so much. Just like almost being a little more stoic and like thinking about with not getting so excited, when you're in a fat loss phase and like you're getting leaner that way. Also too, when you go into maintenance phase, you don't feel so bored during that phase too. Like,
Right.
so
Yep, for
no, I
sure.
totally agree. Cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Kara. This was awesome. I feel like we could have talked literally for another hour. Like, I know. I'm
I
like, man, like there's
feel
so many other things I could like ask or go
Hey,
through,
I'm
but
always up for a part two.
yeah, I was just gonna say we might have to do a part two sometime. So let the audience, before we go, let the audience know like where they can find you, what you have going on.
Yeah, amazing. Okay, so you can find me on Instagram and TikTok at Kara Goss underscore RD. And then I do have a Facebook group. It's called Functional Fat Loss Secrets for Women. We do tons of live trainings in there, education, all of that good stuff. And then I have a website, karagossrd.com, and my own podcast that I host with my best friend called the Not Your Quick Fix podcast. That's on Apple and Spotify. So a few different places that you can find me.
Awesome. Cool.
Awesome.
Well, thanks so much again, Kara, for coming on. This was awesome. And definitely we'll have you on again soon.
Thank you.